The big thing is this. Brother Richard stands in the office of an evangelist. And it's very pure and it's very sweet. It's very powerful. And so I'm so glad that you came to be with us. Because we need that. The body of Christ needs the office of the evangelist.
Yes.
The office of the evangelist has been kind of neglected for quite a while. And so much that most people can't even name five evangelists that are really helping the body of Christ along the way. And so we appreciate you doing that.
We do.
With the power of God and gifts of the Holy Spirit, unique ways that God has decided to use him in that office. And so just open your heart tonight, okay? Open your heart to the gift of the evangelist. You might not even know what that is. But it's unique and it's special, and that's why we need that. It's different than the pastor office. It's different than the prophet office.
That's right.
And so you need all the different offices to be able to impart things into your life. So tonight is one of those. So you'll go further after tonight. You'll be better after tonight. You'll go up higher after tonight.
That's right.
You'll see some things about God you didn't know. It'll just hit you. It'll just finally hit you. It'd be like, the pastor might have said that 10 or 15 times, but it'll finally hit you. That's how it works.
Amen.
And so some of you know of his father's ministry, Oral Roberts, but Richard has his own ministry.
That's right.
And it's important for us. And so thank you for carrying it on with zeal and for never getting bored in the ministry. And for even cranking up the heat on yourself and on the ministry so that the body of Christ can be blessed and that people can be saved and healed. And we had, 11 people saved this morning?
13
people saved this morning? Or rededicated?
This morning, praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And a whole bunch of people healed. Just marvelous and wonderful. Why don't you please stand and let's give a big love, warm welcome to Brother Richard Roberts.
Is that green?
Yes.
Well, give praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you tonight. We give you honor and we give you glory in this sanctuary, in this new, beautiful sanctuary. Thank you for Houston Faith Church. Thank you for pastors and for all those that are here gathered tonight. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight so that what all I say and do tonight brings honor and glory to Jesus,
yes,
whom I serve and live for. I praise you, Father, and thank you. And everybody said amen.
Yes.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Pastor, it is an honor to be here, and it is an honor to serve in the office of the evangelist. There are five specific callings, and you know those callings: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Hold out your hand like this. My father taught me that the five offices can be demonstrated in your hand. Look at your thumb. The thumb is the base of your hand. That represents the apostle. The trailblazer, the base. And then the next finger is the finger that you use to point. Isn't that right? And that's the prophet who points the way. And notice the next finger is the longest finger. That's the evangelist, always reaching out for the lost. And next is what we call the ring finger, and that's the pastor, forever married to the church. And the little one, that's Kenneth Copeland, that's the teacher. The one who picks at the word of God, who can take the scripture Jesus wept and preached for 5 hours. That's Kenneth. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. I learned that as I was growing up in the ministry. Oh my goodness, I can tell you so many stories tonight. We had a wonderful time after service today. We went ahead to have some lunch, and I was sharing some of those stories with them about the history. And it's good. I'm a student of history. I love history. I love to watch the History Channel. I love to watch the National Geographic Channel. You know, anything like that about history and animals and things like that, I love to watch. Because I like to know how things began. I like to know how they, and I also like to know how they end, too. You know, and what happens along the way. Tonight, I want to do something specifically to kind of brad the nail on the other side of what I did this morning. Now, for those of you who weren't here, This morning, I set the stage for God to perform miracles. And I shared about how I came into the ministry after having rebelled against God, after having run away from God, and how I came back, and how it was prophesied that I would come back. And I shared how when I gave my heart to the Lord, how I was baptized in the Holy Spirit that night and called into the ministry. I shared the story about how I entered the healing ministry after my wife and I were married, and how that all came about through confessing Mark 11, 23 and 24. I shared about how God uses me and that he would use me in a different way than he used my father. My father had an anointing that came down his shoulder and came down his arm and came into his hand. And he would not go to minister or preach until he felt that anointing in his hand. And as a boy, I would say to him, "Dad, why are we waiting so long to go into the service?" And he would say, "I haven't felt that anointing yet in my hand, and I'm not going until I do." And I said, "Well, why?" I would say, "Why, Dad? Why are we not going in?" He said, "Because people are depending upon my prayers tonight, and I have to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit." Amen. So I grew up in that, and I learned about the anointing. I understand what the anointing is. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is that divine energy
right. That
comes upon you.
Amen.
And separates you from yourself.
Amen.
And fills you up with God's presence and God's power so much that when you speak, it's just like God talking. That's what the anointing is. I know when it's on me and I know when it's not. And tonight it is. I shared the story. I shared how my father prophesied over me and showed me that I would not particularly have a laying on of hands ministry, although there are times when I lay hands on people. But mostly God operates through me by the word of knowledge and by the operation of the gifts of healing.
Amen.
Notice there are 9 gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The word of knowledge and the gifts, and notice it's plural. Not just one gift, but gifts of healing. Notice there are 9 of them, and those are 2 of those 9 gifts, and those operate in my life. Not because of me, not because of anything that I have done, not because of anything that I have achieved, but instead because God is sovereign, and he manifests those gifts through whomever he chooses, whenever he chooses. Now, there have been times when I have told God not to operate because I felt it was wrong, but he usually doesn't pay much attention to me. I was preaching in Swaziland, in Imbabon, which is the capital, and I was asked to speak to Parliament, their form of a Congress. And there were several hundred representatives and senators there, and the vice president of the nation, and the man that would be called, we'd call him the Speaker of the House. And these were government political leaders of the nation. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, no word of knowledge today. These are politicians. Let me speak to them and greet them and then invite them to the crusade and leave it at that. So no word of knowledge." They introduced me. I walked up and God began to manifest the word of knowledge. And I said, "Cut that out. I told you, leave me alone. Let them come tonight to the service." And he paid no attention to me until finally I gave several words of knowledge. And the vice president of the nation, I discovered, was deaf in one ear. And when I gave the word, the vice president was healed. So I said, "Okay, God, bring it on, bring it on." I've learned how not to tell God what to do.
Amen.
And I've learned not to tell him when to do it and where to do it and who to do it to. I've just learned to say, "God, do it any way you want. Because you know the way and you have the agenda." So I am a person that is spontaneous. And if you think I planned out something tonight, you're wrong. Because I want to be spontaneous. I'm an evangelist that is spontaneous. I like to move by the Holy Spirit. And what I have planned, God changes. And that's okay with me. I remember one night I was preaching in Kenya. We had 200,000 people. The largest crowd I'd ever seen in my life, by police estimate. And when I walked on the platform, the Lord said, "Do not preach what you planned." And I'm just standing there wondering what in the world I'm going to do. And he said, "When you touch the microphone, I'll give you a message," which he did. And there were thousands that gave their hearts to the Lord that night and many, many miracles of healing. So I'm a spontaneous kind of person. You really never know what I'm going to do.
Right.
because I don't know what I'm going to do. I do have a plan for tonight, and we'll see if God allows it. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and let's start there. And let's build on what happened this morning, because after I gave those words today and ministered, then the word of knowledge and the gifts of healing began to flow. People began to get healed, and there were at least 50 or more who came and lined the front of the church and gave testimony of what God had done. One woman who stepped on a crab and had an infection in her foot, couldn't put weight on her foot. I don't know if she's here tonight. Couldn't put weight on her foot. There she is. She came out. She stomped her foot. Are you still stomping it? Yeah. Is it pain gone? She was down somewhere near Galveston, I guess. Is that right? What were you doing stepping on a crab? Well, never mind. Never mind. I would avoid stepping on a crab, but nevertheless, you know. I've known some crabby people. How about you? But anyway, there are a lot of miracles today. People had vision healing, eyes healed, a lot of hearing healings this morning, a lot of backs and feet. Was it your back or your feet? Your back got healed. And where's your pianist? He got his knees. He was here a minute ago. I think it was his knees, wasn't it? And there are lots of healings. Well, let's build on that, because the typical tendency is for people to wait until a certain individual comes in order to receive a word. Instead of looking to God and knowing what the Bible says about you as a believer yourself. I remember Kenneth Copeland told me the story of how he was in a prayer line one night, laying hands on the sick, and he came to a woman who had an ulcer. And he reached out to touch her, and she said, "Oh, no, don't touch me. I'm saving that for Oral Roberts." Don't be like that woman. So I want to show you. This morning there was a demonstration. And everyone here saw the demonstration of God. But tonight I want to teach you how you can have a demonstration in your own life. Okay? Now open up to Acts chapter 10. Are you there? Good. I'm in Proverbs. I got to find Acts. Acts is to the right over here, isn't it? Acts. Oh, I've got it marked here. There it is. Acts 10, verse 38. And if I could see it, I could read it to you. All right, Acts 10, verse 38. These are the words of Peter, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. We must have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives. That's why it's so important that we become people who pray in tongues.
Right.
And we interpret back the way the Apostle Paul talked. Praying in tongues is only half of a loaf. As I shared with you this morning, when you pray in tongues, you should stop and then pray in English so you get understanding. Paul said, let him who prays in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. And I'm not talking about the gift of tongues. No, that's different. But I'm talking about your daily devotional prayer language. Now, the evangelical world out there thinks that we're talking about the gift of tongues, but we're not. We're talking about our daily devotional prayer language. And Paul makes a differentiation. If it isn't, I just made one up. Paul makes a difference in 1 Corinthians 14 when he says, what will I do? That's when it became personal. When he said, what will I do? He stopped talking about a gift of tongues and he came over to talk about our daily devotional prayer language.
Right.
What will I do? I will pray in the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. So that's, it's important because that produces an anointing in our lives. And we must have the anointing to be a witness, okay? I carry an anointing and people feel that. They don't often know what it is, but they know there's something different about me. I got on the airplane and the lady in front of me turned around and said, I'm so glad you're on this plane. I know we're going to land. She knew there was something about me that she liked, okay? And I said, well, here's my flight home if you want to fly home safely too, you know? So the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. If he had to have the anointing,
come on.
How much more must we have the anointing?
Right, right.
If the Son of God himself had to be anointed,
yes.
How much more do we have to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
If we could do it by ourselves, we'd do it, but we can't. We have to have the anointing
right.
of God. The anointing of God makes the difference. The anointing breaks the yoke.
Amen.
Okay. Right. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. 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 We have power in us. We have unlimited power because we have the Holy Spirit.
Glory. Glory.
We have literally Jesus' other self.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember he said, I must go away, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter, and he will be in you. I have been with you. He will be in you.
Glory.
Right.
How Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power.
Power.
The power source is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Anointing, power, and wherever he went, he brought healing. The Bible says that the multitudes followed him because of the miracles that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Surely they heard him preach. The man obviously could preach. All you have to do is read the Sermon on the Mount. You know he was a preacher. But what made the difference was the miracles. God confirmed his word with miracles and signs and wonders.
Right.
Thank God for the preaching. Thank God for the teaching.
Amen.
But there must be a
demonstration
of the power of God.
Yes.
For Jesus told his disciples to preach, teach, and bring healing to people.
Yes.
It's a full gospel.
Amen.
It's not just preaching. It's not just teaching. It's not just preaching and teaching. It's preaching, teaching, and healing. That's a full gospel. When Lindsay and I got married, she would have me stop at these convenience stores and get her a specific drink that she liked. Now me, I just go to the counter and get a Dr. Pepper and go back to the car. But she wanted 1/3 hot water, 1/3 hot coffee, and 1/3 hot chocolate. It was kind of strange to me, but that's what she wanted. So I'd stop at a convenience store and I'd get me a Dr. Pepper and get her 1/3 hot water, 1/3 hot coffee, 1/3 hot chocolate. I'd bring it back out and she would really enjoy it. I went in one night and they were out of hot chocolate. And so I gave her half water and half coffee.
Uh-oh.
And I put a lid on it.
Uh-oh.
And I got one of those little tiny, tiny straws. You know the kind I mean? The kind that you suck and see like you're gonna suck your brains out? You know the one I mean. I took it out to the car and I handed it to her. I didn't say anything. And she took a drink and she said, this is not a third. She said, this is half. I said, how do you know? She said, I know. And I had to confess it was not a third. Well, the gospel is preaching, teaching, and healing. Go ahead and give praise to the Lord. That's the full gospel. The full gospel is preaching, teaching, and bringing healing to people in need. And that's what the church is called to do.
Amen.
And the good news is you're in a church where that is happening.
Amen. Right.
Praise God. A pastor told me today that people are coming now because they, as they drive by, they're seeing the facility and they're coming here. When you're in the strip mall over there, where they stripped every day, you know. They couldn't see it, but now they can see it from the road. And you're getting more visitors. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. And you're online now. You're in social media. You know, we need to take advantage of things like that. We need to use technology. Not say, no, we're not doing that, you know, because it's out in the world. No, let's take what they have and let's use it for the gospel.
Amen.
Use all the technology. Facebook, Twitter, all the different platforms that are there, YouTube, everything that's out there. We need to use it all. Use it for the gospel. And I'm doing that all over the world. You all are doing it as well here. And they're live tonight on Facebook. And I know people who are watching tonight from Tulsa because I called a bunch of people and said, watch tonight. Hi, Tulsa. They're watching me right now. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Notice the word good. And that's why I tell people something good is going to happen to you. Something good is going to happen to you.
Amen.
Wouldn't you rather hear that than something bad is going to happen to you?
Amen.
Something good from God is going to happen to you tonight.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say that. Say, something good's going to happen to you tonight. He went about doing good and healing. And healing. And healing. And healing. That's good. Something good is going to happen, and God's going to heal. Well, how is he going to heal? He's going to heal by his power. Who's he going to use tonight? You.
Glory.
You. Don't make the mistake of looking to a man or looking to a woman. Because the last time I read the Bible, it says you shall lay hands on the sick.
Amen.
And they shall recover.
Amen.
You. And don't say that it was just for the 12 disciples. Because if you do that, then you have to negate the entire Bible. Every word of the Bible is for you today. Amen. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, there are a number of different, I wondered how I was going to get there, Lord. There are different methods that God uses. And you might want to get a pen and a paper and make some notes, or use your smartphone or your dumb phone or whatever phone you brought. Tablet. And you might want to make some notes tonight. I'm going to share some methods that God uses for healing. And then we're going to enact it. We're going to demonstrate it. We're going to do
Glory.
It. This morning I was showing you how God uses me. Tonight I'm going to let you show me how God uses you. Okay? The first method is the laying on of hands.
Right.
Now that's the method that I grew up watching. I watched my father lay hands on countless people. And his method was that after he preached and after he gave an invitation for people to receive Christ, then while the healing line was being assembled in the tent, he would go to an ancillary tent where people were who were too sick to stand in the prayer line. Sometimes 50, sometimes 100 people in that little tent. They had a speaker system. There were no television in those days, at least not in the tent. And he would go and he would lay hands on all of them first. And it was like the pool of Bethesda in the Bible, the sickest people you've ever imagined in your life. And I would go with him into that little tent when I was in the Crusades, and I would watch him and stand by his side as he prayed for those people, many dying with cancer and all kinds of diverse diseases. And then he would come back into the main tent and with the healing line, and he would lay hands on as many people as he could until he wore out his strength. And lots of times the services lasted until after 11 o'clock at night. And then on the closing day of the crusade, it was either a 7-day or a 14-day crusade, and depending upon what city that we were in. On the closing day, which was always a Sunday afternoon, he would say, if you have a prayer card, then, and you have not yet had hands laid on you, and you want laid hands laid on you, then I will lay hands on everyone today. And they would, they had a string that was tied from one tent pole to the next. And when an announcement was made, everyone would stand and pick up their folding chair and take it to the edge of the tent to hand it to one of the workers. And if they wanted prayer, they would go and stand under one of those strings. And it was not unusual for him to lay hands on 5,000 to 10,000 people in an afternoon. And I would walk those prayer lines. I'd carry his coat and have a glass of water in my hand and walk sometimes for 3 hours with him laying hands on people. He paid a price to pray for the sick. All right, I grew up with the laying on of hands ministry. Now, how do you lay hands on someone and pray? Well, you take your hands and you lay them on someone. Just in case you don't understand. Is that too complicated for you? You take your hands and you lay them on someone and you pray.
Right.
This is not rocket science. You don't have to have a degree from MIT to understand how you lay hands on someone. The thing is, when you lay hands on someone, you don't touch them until you are ready to release your faith. I shared the story with you this morning about how to get a point of contact, how to release your faith. And many of you today who gave your testimony, you said, I released my faith. How do you lay hands on someone? I wait until I'm ready to lay hands on them. Normally, I would touch someone on their shoulders or the neck, sometimes their head. There are certain parts of the body I won't touch. You know, I'm not stupid. Okay? But I would wait until I was ready to release my faith. And when I was ready, I would do something like this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lay my hands on this dear brother. I come against the satanic attack against him. I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I pray for healing. Now, that's just not that difficult. Thank you for that applause. That's not hard. You just take your hands and you lay them on someone and you pray. Now, why don't more people pray for the sick? Probably because they're intimidated. They're afraid that something might not happen. Well, when you understand that you're not the healer.
Amen.
You're not the healer. You're the one doing the praying.
Yes.
Your job's not to heal. Your job's to pray.
Right.
You're not responsible for healing. You're responsible for the prayer. And when you understand that, it takes away the intimidation factor. When you understand that you're just the one God's using, but He is the one who does the healing.
Good work.
Now, how do you demonstrate this? Well, I'll tell you. Put your Bibles down. Put your phones down. Put your writing equipment down and stand up for just a minute. And let me show you how this works. Because when I finish with you tonight, you're not ever going to be intimidated to lay hands on someone again.
Hallelujah.
Now turn and face someone. Don't touch them yet. Face someone. And in a minute, I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. And when I do, I want you to release your faith. Now you may want to touch their head. You may want to touch them on their shoulder. You may want to touch them on their neck. And when you pray, pray something like this. You don't have to pray these exact words, but something like this. Father, in Jesus' name, I come against any satanic attack coming against this person. I bind it and I command it to get out of their life. And it's not the length of your prayer.
Right.
Length of your prayer has nothing to do with it.
Right.
A lot of times Jesus said, be healed, and they were. Pretty short prayer. Not the length. We're going to lose the intimidation tonight. Now put your hands up like you're ready to touch them. Don't touch them yet. And when I count to three, you're going to lay your hands on them and pray. Are you ready? And you're going to be shocked what happens. 1, 2, 3, begin. Father, in Jesus' name, I touch this person. I come against this satanic attack. I bind it. I curse it in Jesus' name. Be healed. Satan, you take your hands off God's property now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now turn back this way. Simple question. Just now, when somebody touched you, how many of you can say, well, I felt the power of God when they touched me? Look at the hands. Now find somebody else. Find somebody else. You may have to walk across the aisle. That's all right. Find somebody else. Put your hands up. Are you ready? On a count of three. 1, 2, 3. Begin. Father, once again, I lay my hands on them. I bind this satanic attack. I curse it in the name of Jesus. Satan, you take your hands off of God's property. You loose them and let them go. In the name of Jesus.
Let her go.
Amen. Now turn back around. Turn back around. Now, how many of you can say, just now when somebody touched me, I felt the power of God? Put your hand up. A lot more hands this time. It's so simple. And if you open yourself up to doing it, God will provide opportunities for you to do it.
Right.
Now raise your right hand. Say this out loud. Never again, will I be intimidated to lay hands on someone and pray and believe God for healing. Amen. Be seated. Now that wasn't hard, was it? But what I did was I helped you to get over the intimidation factor. Okay? Remember now, you're not responsible for the healing.
Amen.
Your job is to pray.
Right.
Leave the healing to God. You know? All right. Now there's another method. It's not any better. It's just different. There are times when it is inappropriate or it might not be received to lay hands on someone. God has another method. It's speaking the word. Remember Psalm 107 verse 20? It says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And there are examples in the Bible. Jesus sent the word to the Roman army captain's military aid.
Right.
Remember, he was up the seacoast, and the man said to Jesus, my servant is grievously tormented with paralysis.
Yeah.
What did Jesus say? I'll come and heal him.
Right.
Or in other words, I'll come and I'll lay my hands on him. Mm-hmm. The man said, it's not necessary for you to come, for I'm also a man under authority. And I say to this soldier, go and he goes, and this soldier, come and he comes, and this soldier, do this and he does it. But I recognize that you have authority above all authority. And you don't have to come lay your hands on him. You just send the word. And my military aid will be healed. And Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith. And Jesus sent the word. And the Bible says the man was healed in the same hour. Jesus did not touch him. He sent the word. And there are times when it might not be accepted. It might not be received if you lay hands on someone. It might be misunderstood. So there's another method, and that's speaking the word.
Amen.
You don't pray any differently. You just don't touch them. Amen. Stand up. Find somebody else and face them. Find someone else. Put your hands up. Don't touch them. Do not touch them, because there are certain times when it might not be appropriate, it might not be received, it might not be accepted, it might be misunderstood. Okay? Now, you pray the same way. You don't pray any differently. You just don't touch them. What you're doing is you're sending the word, and you're saying something to the effect, in the name of Jesus, I'm sending the word of God to you. Did you notice this morning I was saying, I send the word of God to you? Well, I was enacting that scripture. And now you're going to do the same thing on a count of three. Are you ready? Don't touch them now. Just send the word. Are you ready? One, two, three. Begin. Send it. Father, in Jesus' name, I send the word into this man, into this woman. I curse this attack. I bind it now in the name of Jesus, and I send the word to you. I send it. I send healing by the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, now remember, it's not the length of your prayer. You don't have to pray for them for 2 or 3 hours. It's not necessary. Most of Jesus' prayers for people were very brief. Be healed. You know, your faith has made you whole. He prayed short prayers. You don't have to pray a long prayer.
Yes.
Now, how many of you just now felt the power of God when someone sent the word? Put your hand up. Look at that. Look how many hands. Now, find somebody else. I want you to get comfortable with this. Because if you'll open up yourself, God will bring you opportunities to use what I'm teaching you tonight. Are you ready? Put your hands up. But don't touch them now. Don't touch them. Are you ready? One, two, three, begin. Say, I send the word. I send the word of God to you. I send healing. Be healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now remember, it's not the length of your prayer. It's not how long you pray.
That's right.
Now, question for you. How many of you just now, when someone sent the word, you can say, well, I felt the power of God. Put your hand up. Look how many hands. Now raise your right hand. Say, never again. Will I be intimidated to lay hands on someone and pray, or to send the word and pray for healing? In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. If I were teaching this in a college class, I would call this Healing 101. Introduction to healing. How to pray for the sick. And not make it complicated, but make it simple. So everyone can understand and everyone can do it. Because I'm telling you, if you open yourself up and you say to God, God, if you give me opportunities, I'll walk into those opportunities. I promise you, if you open yourself up, God will begin to use you in ways.
Amen.
You'll find people who will be saying to you, would you lay hands on me and pray, or would you pray over me? Because you'll carry that anointing. And they may not understand what it is, but they'll pick up something about you that's different. And they'll want to be near you. Okay? Now, there's another method. In fact, there are several more methods. And one of them is a prayer cloth. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, tells the story of the Apostle Paul, who took handkerchiefs and aprons, or what we would call cloths, from his body. He either had them inside his garment or next to him or in a pocket, I don't know. Bible doesn't say, but it says he took them from his body, which means he had touched them. And the Bible says that those cloths were sent to the sick, and the sick were healed, and the demonic spirits were driven out.
Amen.
Now, the cloths do not heal. The cloth is simply a point of contact to help people to believe for healing. Cloths don't heal. This is my handkerchief, and it has no healing power. It's just a piece of cloth. But when I lay my hands on it, and when I pray, my spiritual DNA goes into this cloth. And this cloth becomes dangerous to the devil. In my lifetime, my father and I, over the last years as well, have probably sent out more than 2 million prayer cloths to people all over the world. And the testimonies come in every week of someone who has used the prayer cloth, not to do the healing, but as a point of contact to help them to release their faith. But it's just a cloth. There's nothing special about this cloth. But when we lay our hands on it like the Apostle Paul did, it becomes a point of contact to help people to release their faith and to believe God for miracles. I know women who put it in their husband's lunch pail. I know parents who put it under the floorboard of their children's cars. I've sewn it into their pillows. Lindsay has one. She has one that she wears with a safety pin on the strap of her bra. You'll never find Lindsay without a prayer cloth attached to her bra. You may never see it. I've seen it. But she always has a prayer cloth. And she carries them in her purse in case someone has a need. And she'll say, well, send them this prayer cloth. And she'll lay her hands on them and pray. But remember, cloths don't heal. But they become points of contact to help people to release their faith. And another point of contact is anointing oil. And the Bible speaks of anointing oil. All throughout the Word of God, anointing oil is used. When I was ordained, my father anointed me with oil. And when I was called into the healing ministry, again, he anointed me with oil. They took oil and they poured it on my head, just like they did in Bible days for Saul, who became king, for David, who became king, and others. And you'll find anointing oil throughout the Bible. What does the scripture say in James 5? Let the elders of the church come and pray, and let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But the oil has no power.
Right.
Right.
It's just oil. But it's a point of contact to help people to release their faith. Some years ago, we sent out a letter to our partners, and we sent a little vial of anointing oil and taught in the letter about James chapter 5 and how to use the anointing oil the way the Bible describes. And there was a family in Arkansas who had a 9-year-old son who was deaf in one ear. And when he came home from school, he saw the letter on the kitchen table, and he read it. He took the little vial of oil and poured it in his ear, and God instantly healed him. He had never heard out of that ear, and God healed him. But it wasn't the oil. It was Jesus who did the healing. But the oil became a point of contact to help people to release their faith. Now, I recognize that there are some who teach that if it's a certain type of oil, it will work better. There are those who say if you get oil that comes from the Holy Land, from the Garden of Gethsemane area of Jerusalem, from a tree, an olive tree that Jesus walked by 2,000 years ago.
Come on. Tell it. Tell it.
You can use 10W30.
Come on. Amen.
Because it's not the oil.
That's right. Amen.
It's not the oil. It's who the oil symbolizes. How many of you know who Jerry Savelle is? Jerry has been a good friend for 40 years. In fact, I talked to him just the other day. And Jerry told me a story. You may not know this, but Jerry collects old classic cars. He has a collection of classic cars, Corvettes and other cars. He's got the prettiest gold 1965 GTO you've ever seen. And I was so jealous, I had to repent for being covetous. And he's got the most beautiful 1957 red two-door Bel Air Chevrolet, which he takes to shows and shows them. And he usually wins the prize. He said, I was at a show, and this man came up to look at my car. And he recognized me. And he said, Brother Savelle, would you pray over me? I've got cancer. And Jerry said, well, sure. And the Lord spoke to Jerry and said, you should anoint him with oil. But Jerry didn't have any oil. So he reached into the engine, he took out the dipstick, ran his fingers down the dipstick, and anointed the man with oil. A few months later, he was at another show. And this man walked up to him and said, do you remember me? I'm the one you anointed with the oil on your dipstick. Jerry said, yes, I remember. Jerry said, you didn't die. He said, no, I'm cancer free. Now, the oil did not heal him. But the oil became a point of contact to help him to believe for his miracle. Oil is very special. It's very precious. And I thank God for it. I just got a phone call from a man the other day who said, please, I need 3 or 4 more vials of the anointing oil. I said, I'll send them. I said, but remember, the oil doesn't heal. He said, oh, I understand. It's a point of contact. Now, there are other methods, but one more particularly that I'll talk about, and it's also in James chapter 5. It says, pray ye one for another that you may be healed. One of the most effective prayers I think that I ever pray is when I pray for someone else to be healed, believing for their healing, and that will come back to me. It's a seed faith prayer. My wife calls it a boomerang prayer. You pray for someone else and that healing comes back to you. I like that. She calls it a boomerang prayer. We had a woman who worked in our ministry who was, I suppose she was a little bit above 60. And she contracted cancer. She worked in our ministry, and the doctors told her there's nothing that can be done medically. She had 6 months to live, and she should get her affairs in order. And so she resigned her position and went home. And when she got home, the Lord spoke to her and said, go throughout the city as you are able and find every person you can who has cancer and lay your hands on them and pray for healing. And for several months, she did that. She went into several hospitals, and she went into homes and in churches when she found people who had cancer, and she laid her hands on them and prayed. And at her next exam, the doctors declared her cancer-free. She prayed for someone else, for them to be healed, and that healing came back to her. She came back to work in our ministry and worked for several more years before she went home to be with the Lord. Pray one for another that you may be healed. It doesn't say pray one for another that they may be healed. Pray one for another that you may be healed. You pray for someone else, believing for their healing, and expect that healing to come back to you. Now, stand up one more time. Turn and face someone. Now, it doesn't matter to me if you lay hands on them or if you send the word or however you do it or if you have a prayer cloth or you want to anoint them with oil. It doesn't matter to me. Whatever you feel led to do. But let's pray one for another and let's fulfill James chapter 5 tonight. All right? Are you ready? On a count of three. One, two, three. Begin. Father, right now, I pray this healing prayer. Come against every satanic attack. You foul devil, you take your hands off God's property. I lay my hands on you. I send the word. I anoint you. In Jesus' name, Satan, take your hands off. You loose every man. You loose every woman. You loose every young person here tonight. And Lord, as I pray for their healing, let that healing come back to me. And as you pray for that person, let that healing come back to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Now raise your right hand. That's your left hand. Thank you. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. Never again. Will I be intimidated to lay my hands on someone and pray, or to send the word and pray, or to use a prayer cloth, or to use anointing oil, or any other method that God gives me? I will no longer be intimidated. And Father, I open myself up however you want to use me, in whatever method. I'm ready. I will obey. I may not fully understand, but I will obey. In Jesus' name. Now somebody give praise to the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. Did you get anything? Did you get something tonight?
Yes.
What did you get? Direction? Understanding? Wisdom? What'd you get?
Knowledge?
Knowledge? What'd you get? What? Impartation? What'd you, courage? What'd you get? Over here, what'd you get? What? Boldness? What'd you get? Speak it out. Confidence? What'd you get tonight?
Power?
What'd you get back there? Pardon, what'd she say? Purpose? What over here, what'd you get?
Inside application.
I like that. Demonstration. What'd you get? Anointing?
Proof?
Filled with the Holy Spirit? Joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Now, you know, for someone like me to get up and do this, it feels wonderful, but what makes it feel a whole lot better is when people get something. You know, the teacher in the classroom is only fulfilled when the students understand what he or she is teaching. If they don't get it, then the teacher hasn't done the job. The proof is in the understanding. Are you understanding this tonight?
Yes.
Are you ready and willing when, if God opens the door, and when he opens the door, to do it?
Yes.
With boldness.
Yes.
unashamed, unafraid, unintimidated. Well, because if you're open, God will make a way for this to happen in your life. And you begin to see people's lives turned around because of you.
Hallelujah.
And it'll be a tremendous opportunity for you to be a witness. You know, a lot of people think, well, y'all be seated. A lot of people say, well, a person has to get saved before they can get healed. Well, that's not true. Do you remember the man in the Bible, the blind man that Jesus healed? And after he healed them, they said to the man, who healed you? He said, I don't know. I want to know, but I don't know. Lots of times in my services, people give their come and get healed, and then I see them come to the altar and give their hearts to the Lord. You know, healing is the dinner bell. You ring that dinner bell, and people come. I tell you what, you turn on a light in your backyard, you're going to attract every bug in Texas.
Amen.
You turn on the light of Jesus, it's going to attract people to you.
Hallelujah.
People, they may not know how to describe it. They may not know exactly what they feel, but they're going to know there's something different about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make them want to be close. And I appreciate that when that happens to me. I know you'll appreciate it when it happens to you. And if you open your heart and say, Lord, I'm ready for whatever you want me to do, I promise you, it will begin happening. And maybe you may not know exactly what to do and how to do it, but take what I've shown you tonight and just start. And the Lord may tweak it a little bit along the way. He may correct you, move a little different direction. Sometimes I miss it a person or two, you know, but I don't miss it far. Sometimes I think I have a word of knowledge for one person and it's two or three people away, but I don't miss it very far. Well, have you ever made a mistake? Of course I made a mistake, you know, not too many times. Not when it comes to the Lord. So that's the message for tonight. To teach you how to do what I do. Now the only difference between me and you is I've got more experience. I've been doing this for a long time. Some of you are starting for the first time. Well, I remember when I started. I remember it started with a man's big toe. Remember I gave that testimony this morning? Didn't start out with cancer. Started out with a big toe. Never despise a small beginning. It started. And when it starts, it can grow. Now stand up with me one more time. Heavenly Father, it is not by might, and it is certainly not by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit tonight, here at Houston Faith Church, that I pray this prayer of faith over everyone here. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here and to pour out my heart this morning and tonight and to demonstrate and teach what you have put in me and for that to grow in the lives of those who are here tonight. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Now, Lord, take the words that I have shared this morning and tonight and let them just explode in the lives of everyone here, that we all may be witnesses. For Jesus, you said that we shall be witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And Lord, Jerusalem represents our families. And Judea represents the hard places where we go. And Samaria represents places that you may not want to go, because it's tough. But he encompassed every place in our lives, our families, where we frequent, and the tough places. He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon us, and we'll be witnesses. And Father, I was touched this morning as so many people shared about how many they have won to Christ just this week. And let this church be a beacon for salvation and healing here in Houston. Let the word spread that the power of God is preached, it's taught, and demonstrated on a regular basis here at Houston Faith Church. Thank you for Pastor Chaz and Joni, for all those here who labor with them. And Lord, thank you that you've given me an opportunity to make a deposit in their lives. I thank you for this, Lord. And I give you praise and honor and glory for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One more story. One more story. That's what my children used to say. Daddy, one more story. I was preaching in Birmingham in England. And there were about 4,000 people in this great cathedral-looking type public building. And there was a woman and her daughter were there. The young girl had broken her leg. But in the surgery they did afterwards, it hadn't worked. And she was in a brace from her hip down to her ankle. And God gave me a word of knowledge, and I began to pray for people who had been injured. And to my amazement, the young girl came down the aisle and came up on the platform to testify that she felt the power of God when I prayed. And then to my amazement, she took off the brace. I didn't ask her to. She took it off. And she jumped off the platform. And she ran around the whole building.
Glory.
While the English people, who are a little bit more reserved than they are in Houston, they began to rejoice and praise God as she ran around the room. It was an amazing miracle. And there were lots of healings that night. There was a reporter from a newspaper who had come to interview me. And he was sitting on the front row over on the side. And I saw when I would talk, he would occasionally look down and write something down. And I could tell by the scowl on his face, it was not going to be a pleasant article. I know the type. And so when the service was over, he and I went back behind the platform to a little room. And we sat down and he said to me, "How does the word of knowledge work?" And I just closed my eyes and I shook my head and I said under my breath to the Lord, "How could I answer this secular reporter's question? He doesn't know God. He doesn't know anything about the Bible. He's not going to write a pleasant article. How can I describe how the word of knowledge works? I don't know what to say." And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Don't answer his question. Ask him how long he's had arthritis in his shoulder." I said to him, "Sir, how long have you had arthritis in your left shoulder?" He looked at me and he said, "How did you know I had arthritis in my shoulder?" I said, "Well, never mind. How long have you had it?" He said, "Several years." I said, "How does it affect you?" He said, "I have a great deal of difficulty moving my shoulder." I said, "Well, move it now. You're going to find it completely healed." And he put his pen down and he started moving his shoulder all around. Big smile came on his face. He said, "What did you do?" I said, "I answered your question. That's how the word of knowledge works."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How do you explain the supernatural? Praise the Lord. Just best to demonstrate it, right?
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.